We'll go over the verse first. Now this is another verse that has six. As the last verse spoke of the six hindrances to devotional service, this verse speaks of six principles that guarantee favor, success of pure devotional service. Shadbi bhakti prasidyati. Prasidyati means become successful. And vinashyati, from the previous verse, means failure, destroyed. Shadbi bhakti prasidyati. By these six, bhakti becomes successful. So the first one is utsahan, enthusiasm. This word we use quite often. Utsahan, enthusiasm. Nischayad, confidence. So these are the mood. These again are the moods and the activities by which one's devotional service becomes successful. Nischayad, confidence. Daryat, patience. Daryat, patience. Who can think of a trick to remember the word daryat is patience, a mnemonic device, something to help us remember?
How about the word yet? Daryat.
Daryat.
Not yet.
Be patient, not yet. Or the word dairy, because we're dealing with cows. You have to be patient, because they're a little slower. Yet? Dairy yet.
Wait.
In what language? Nara, wait. Okay. So we can easily remember Daryat. How about Nischayad, or confidence? Nischayad. Anyone think of any?
Nishta?
Yeah. But fixed and confidence aren't exactly the same. This one's fixed in confidence. This said, anyway, I'm trying to think of one for that. Tat-tat karma pravartanat. The activities of devotional service. By performing the activities of devotional service. Karma means activities. So these are pranashyati, or prasidyati rather. Prasidyati. Those activities that are favorable for devotional service. Sangha Tyagat. So before, in the previous verse, what was the similar one?
Janasangha.
Janasangha. So get rid of the association of ordinary people, and this is exactly the same. Giving up the association of non-devotees. Sangha Tyagat. Giving up the association of non-devotees. And sato vritte means associating with the sat. Sat means eternal. The great acharyas and great devotees. Sato vritte, shadbir bhakti prasidyati. So what does utsahan mean? Raise your hand. Govanan. Okay, what does dharyat? Everyone should know this one. We give so many clues. Daryat. Yes. Nischayad. With confidence. Sangha Tyagat.
Falling off the steps of great acharyas.
Oops. Sangha Tyaga. What does Tyag mean?
Bad association.
Yeah. Tyag, give up bad associations. Tat tat karma pravartanat. Vadamanar?
Well, I can only do my own cat reads you.
No peeking.
Tat tat is a very useful or different or in karma's activities. So I don't know.
And pravartanat by performing. Performing what kind of activities? Activities favorable for devotional service. And Satovrite means associating with the sat, the eternal, the souls who are fixed in eternality. So these six principles are very important. Now, this purport as the last purport was organized, the first section is an introduction. Devotional service is not a matter of sentimental speculation or imaginative ecstasy. Its substance is practical activity. Srila Rupa Goswami has defined devotional service as follows.
Anya vilasita sunyam jnanakamad anavritam anakulena krishnanu shilanam bhakta uttama. Krishna anushilanam.
That's usually how this word is divided up. Now this is the definition of pure devotional service. Anya vilasita sunyam. All desires reduced to shunya, or zero, material desires. Jnana kamad anavrita, free from the desire for jnana, knowledge, or karma, or the fruits of karma, fruit of activities. Anakulena Krishna, anakulena means favorable to Krishna. Anushilanam, cultivation. So the activities, like tat tat karma pravartanat, activities that are favorable to Krishna, and also they cultivate one's Krishna consciousness. Krishna anushilanam, cultivate Krishna consciousness. This is called uttama bhakti, or first class devotion. Now, Prabhupada's translation is uttama bhakti, or unalloyed devotion unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, involves the rendering of devotional service in a way that is favorable to the Lord. This devotional service should be free from any extraneous motive and devoid of fruit of karma, impersonal jnana, and all other selfish desires. Now, this means that the essence of devotional service, this is the mood by which one performs the activities. Anushilanam means cultivation, or Prabhupada explains it right here. Bhakti is a sort of cultivation. That means anushilanam. That means bhakti. Bhakti is a cultivation, and cultivation implies activity. As soon as we say cultivation, we must refer to activity. Cultivation of spirituality does not mean sitting down idly for meditation, as some pseudo-yogis teach. Such idle meditation may be good for those who have no information of devotional service, and for this reason it is sometimes recommended as a way to check distracting materialistic activities. But that actually doesn't cultivate the positive. It doesn't bring out devotional service, Krishna consciousness, in our hearts. The absence of the negative may be better than performing rascally activities. And therefore, someone is told to sit quietly and meditate and make his mind blank, because a blank mind is better than what he usually is thinking about, and an inactivity brings him less karma than the kind of nonsense activities that he's fond of doing. So this is a step forward, but actually it's a step forward that is incomplete, because it doesn't bring one to the light of the positive. It doesn't bring one to Krishna consciousness. It doesn't cultivate one's love for Krishna. Devotional service, however, not only puts an end to all nonsensical mundane activities, but also engages one in meaningful devotional activities. So the negative of giving up activities pertaining just to the material body and mind is automatically accomplished when one takes up the positive of devotional service. In the same way that you might want to tell a child in a Gurukula class, now don't do this, now stop playing with your pencil, stop playing with your feet and your socks and this and that, and stop scratching the desk and stop hitting your friend. But that's all negative and things that he should stop doing. And that actually does not stop him from very long from engaging in nonsensical activities. But if one somehow or another makes the student enthusiastic about some positive work, some good writing, or some good reading, or even looking at pictures, or coloring, or something like that,
then automatically the student stops picking his sock and pulling his ear and smacking the person next to him. Automatically, because of his positive engagement. Similarly, if someone is positively engaged in Krishna Anushilanam, the cultivation of Krishna consciousness, under these principles, then automatically his negative activities stop. So then, after explaining the cultivating nature of pure devotional service, the activities that cultivate devotional service are explained by Prabhupada. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanavedanam. The 9 processes of devotional service are as follows: hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the Lord's feet, worshipping the deity, offering obeisances, acting as the Lord's servant, making friends with the Lord, surrendering oneself fully to the Lord. But one cannot do these things whimsically, because someone in Maya who does not have the proper vision of what is devotional service and who is Krishna, if he tries to act whimsically, then he will be sure to act incorrectly as someone trying to educate himself. He makes so many blunders and mistake wrong for right and right for wrong. So therefore, Prabhupada explains how to learn, and the prime principle is that one should hear from the proper source. And who is the proper source? Bona fide transcendentalist spiritual masters. And then, therefore, quoting Tadbiri Pranipatena, Pariprasena Sevaya, Upadekshanti Tegyanam Gyaninas Tatvadarshana. So this is how to learn. One accepts the shelter of the feet of a bona fide spiritual master. And one inquires from him how to perform devotional service. One listens to him. One serves him. And one approaches him in a humble way, not thinking that he knows, that he himself knows, but rather, as Krishna approached Arjuna in the beginning of the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna had so many good reasons in the first chapter why he shouldn't fight. But ultimately, and they were all based on Shastra, and they were all logical, and they made good sense, and they were dharmic, they were religious. But ultimately, the result of all his philosophizing and good brain work was that he was simply confused. And therefore, he surrendered to Krishna. Shishaste ham sarimam tam prapanam. So, one should approach a spiritual master. And if one does, then the next verse, Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. Sometimes Prabhupada writes at the beginning of this verse, at least I've seen it in one place, Hey Rupe, O Rupa, because Mahaprabhu is instructing Rupa Goswami, that one travels all over the universe. And when that soul, and that is called Samsara Dhava Nalalita Loka, all over the universe, one is traveling in the big Ferris wheel of suffering. Davanala means forest fire. And one is being burnt continuously in the forest fire of birth, death, old age, and disease. And this forest fire does not have to be sought after by the living entity. It comes automatically. It comes automatically without anyone even starting the forest fire. Everyone must suffer these things. And therefore everyone is disturbed and is burnt despite his desire to enjoy himself. So when one has Bhagyavan, what does Bhagyavan mean? Fortune. When one is fortunate, this wheel of samsara ends by his coming in contact, by the mercy of Krishna and Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai, and sometimes Prabhupada would use Kripa when he says this verse, Guru Krishna Kripai Pai. He gets the bija, or the seed of the Kripa of Bhakti, placed within his consciousness. The Guru gives the idea of becoming a devotee of Krishna, and that will solve all his problems. And Prabhupada explains, that the material world is a place of confinement for the living entities who are by nature Anandamaya, seeking pleasure. Krishna is Anandamaya Bhyasat. He is the form of pleasure. He is composed of ecstasy. And the living entity being his angsa or part, Mamai Vangso Jivaloke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. The living entity being Krishna's part is also Anandamaya. And therefore, by the little Anandamaya, which is the Tatastha Shakti, that little Anandamaya gets covered by just the Maya Shakti. And therefore he doesn't get Ananda, but when he becomes, surrenders to the Anandamaya Vyasad, then he actually can experience the Ananda. So, we don't like the condition in the material world, and we seek to get out, but no one knows how to get free from the miseries of the material world. So therefore, one transmigrates, Prabhupada explains, from one species of life to another, and wandering and wandering and wandering, wandering. And then, if one is fortunate, one comes to the point of devotional service and follows the path of devotional service. Now here, the last two lines of 30, this section A, Prabhupada says, or the last three lines, when by good fortune one comes in contact with a pure devotee and hears from him patiently. How do we say patiently? What is the term in this verse? One begins to follow the path of devotional service. So the beginning, as Mahaprabhu has said, is hearing. And this hearing is compared to the water on the creeper of our devotional service. And even though we may have a very strong creeper of devotional service and it's growing luxuriantly, what will happen before long if we give up hearing? That creeper must dry up, wither, and die. So therefore, if one thinks he's so advanced or so busy that he has no time to hear, then it will be, won't be long before he has no time for Krishna consciousness. He will die in Krishna consciousness. So by hearing, one gets all inspiration in Krishna consciousness, provided he hears from the right source. And then the natural result of hearing is that one begins to follow. Such an opportunity is offered to a person who is sincere. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is giving such a chance to humanity at large. If by fortune one takes advantage of this opportunity to engage in devotional service, the path of liberation immediately opens. So there, in a nutshell, is the purpose of ISKCON, or one of the main purposes of our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to give the opportunity for humanity at large to hear about Krishna. And if hearing does not go on, and preaching does not go on in ISKCON, what is the quote that I always use? The whole institution becomes rubbish. And there is no preaching without hearing. There is no proper kirtanam without proper shravanam. Prabhupada once told me that if you are not engaging in shravanam, then what nonsense are you preaching? And it's a fact. And one must speculate if he doesn't hear a lot. It will just come from the mental platform rather than from the platform, the Shastric platform. So this is the introduction to the process of devotional service that will bring prasiddhiti, success, guaranteed success. This is the introduction that one has to hear. If by fortune one comes in contact with the right source and one hears from him, then one learns, the first thing one learns is after some bandha jnana, then one learns abhideya jnana, or knowledge about how to perform devotional service. So where this is abhideya gyan that we're getting right now by the mercy of Rupa Goswami and Parampara. Any questions or comments up to this point?
I was just going to say that this principle of hearing, you can't really properly preach if you're not hearing a lot. In my own personal experience, is that I just remember back to how much preaching is speculation instead of actually really being connected with the preaching. Your mind is just brought in by the heat or whatever with the preacher, but like you say, you're somewhere else. It's not directly heard.
And not only directly heard, but your own realization about what you heard. Because everyone naturally has their own realizations. I remember devotees way back in the early days when Prabhupada used to say that we shouldn't speculate, we should repeat. So there'd be devotees who had pages memorized, and they'd go out and they'd, you know, just turn it on, you know, and they go, and they'd just not speculate, they would repeat word by word, but parrot. Sukha is called sukha, or parrot, because by the touch of parrot can repeat without understanding, but by the touch of the sukha or beak of the parrot, the fruit actually tastes sweeter. The ripening of the fruit occurs and it tastes sweeter. The breaking of the skin. So therefore, when we preach, this key is synthesizing and realizing something and then letting it come out of our mouth. So we hear and we think about it and realize and assimilate something and then speak, and then it will be powerful.
I was just going to say, it's almost as if hearing and realization in devotional service is the same thing. Because if you don't hear, if you don't realize something, then you can't really have heard it.
That's a deep subject. If one hears properly, then realization immediately occurs. But what it takes to hear properly like that is not easy.
I don't understand what you just said about the parrot.
The parrot.
Yeah, it's it's not good to just repeat without understanding. But
no.
Still it is good, because and then you give an example of what the parrot breaks the skin of the
parrot. But it's the parrot. Sukha is called parrot. Sukha means parrot. And the parrot, or rather the ripened fruit of the Bhagavatam, is sweeter still coming down through Sukadev Goswami. So it is not because it is not sweeter still or more wonderful just because he's repeated like a parrot. But it's sweeter still, not because of that quality of the parrot, but because the parrot's influence on it. It's not because he's repeated blindly without realization. It's not like that. But a parrot has a different quality, that by the touch of his beak, the fruit becomes sweeter, or ripens.
Mentioned in the beginning by Siddha Goswami when he's offering advances to Shri Goswami, he says that out of your mercy you are speaking this Bhagavatam after having personally realized it by experience.
Nice. Okay. Let's move on. Because we'd like to finish both sections. Now in section B, the first quality is discussed. And that quality Prabhupada spends quite a lot of time on, and it is called utsahan, enthusiasm. Now, this first line is very interesting. that Prabhupada writes. One should accept this opportunity to return home, back to Godhead, very enthusiastically. That means with great eagerness. Just as if one was giving you a valuable gift, a great diamond. The more one knew the value of the gift, the more enthusiastic and appreciative one would be to accept it. So similarly, the more we have knowledge about what Krishna consciousness, what devotional service, what this material world is, who Krishna is, what karma is, who we are, the more enthusiastic we will be to take Krishna consciousness and take up the path of Krishna consciousness. Because we know what we have and what's being given to us. So therefore, naturally, the more one advances in Krishna consciousness, the more enthusiastic he should become. This is the natural occurrence, or the natural or a natural result of advancement. So if we see that devotees are becoming less enthusiastic, we can conclude that there is some problem, that some blockage from their blocking their advancement. And it's usually some weed or some offense. Either the weed that has been allowed to grow and to choke the creeper, or an offense that is stifling the growth of the creeper. One of those two. So one should check himself in that way and see how one is doing. Without enthusiasm, one cannot be successful. Even in the material world, one has to be very enthusiastic in his particular field of activities in order to become successful. A successful businessman, artist, or anyone else who wants success in his line must be enthusiastic. Similarly, one has to be very enthusiastic in devotional service. Enthusiasm means action, but action for whom? Usually, a materialist, he becomes enthusiastic when there's the opportunity to gratify his senses. But a devotee, if he gets enthusiastic for the opportunity to gratify his senses, he's not a devotee, because devotee means he wants to gratify Krishna's senses. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakta Ushyate. That is called bhakti. So where, therefore, does the enthusiasm of the devotee come from? Enthusiasm naturally is a result of getting pleasure. And the non-devotee gets his enthusiasm from the pleasure of gratifying his senses. But where does the devotee get his enthusiasm from? To gratify his tongue, that's Bhuvaneshwar's answer. But the only trouble with that is we just read that those things are hindrances to devotional service. I also read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita today that if one was in Krishna book, no, it was in Bhagavatam 10th canto, that the two sons of Kuvera, Nalagriva and Mani Kuvera, yeah? Manigriva and Nala Kuvera, they were bathing in the Ganges. But they were engaging in sinful activities with women in the Ganges. So the Ganges is meant to relieve one of sins, and yet they were engaging in sinful activities there, and they were not purified, Prabhupada explained. And Prabhupada then explained that it's the consciousness or the attitude that brings one advancement while performing an activity. The same point as we read earlier, that is the attitude that's important. So what is the cause for enthusiasm for a devotee?
Realizing that he's giving Krishna pleasure and the devotee's pleasure.
Yeah, and not only just realizing it, but actually the experience of pleasure from serving Krishna and serving the devotees, that gives him pleasure. If done in the right consciousness, that is a source of pleasure. Because we are pleasure seeking, we cannot avoid seeking pleasure. So if we don't receive pleasure from the service to Krishna and the devotees, because we are enjoyers, but we are predominated enjoyers as opposed to predominating enjoyers. So if we don't receive pleasure from that, then we will be forced to seek pleasure in the material world. But this pleasure from service, from Krishna Chaista, Krishna Artakila Chaista, acting for Krishna, that is very, very, very sweet. So that is, anyone else have any other ideas for the sources of enthusiasm?
Yeah? Is that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, the verse in the heart, super soul's heart, or worship some of the Bhagavad Gita?
The Dhammi Puri Yogam Tam Nena Mamu Piyantite. Yeah?
Just getting Krishna conscious realizations about the glories of devotional service and just how, you know, you can't help but be enthusiastic when you realize it's just unlimited and it increases more and more.
Anandam Bhuli Vardhanam. And also, good. And also that one realizes he's getting closer to Krishna and further as his material desires become less and his greed to engage in the service of Krishna increases. He becomes enthusiastic. He's getting closer.
Okay. King Pratapuruja approached Lord Chaitanya for service. Baba writes in purport, his enthusiasm came from chanting the holy name.
Nice. Direct association with Krishna. And of course, as you said before, if one takes Mahaprasadam in the right consciousness, and the prasadam is true prasadam, and also that brings great enthusiasm. As in the prayer of Bhaktivinoda, this shock is so wonderful that Krishna must have surely tasted it. And it also explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the secret ingredient that gives the great taste to Krishna Prasadam is Krishna's saliva. And I remember when we were in many years ago in Gita Nagari, we were making yogi bars, and people would, it was amazing actually, that we would, we were selling them in stores here and there all over the country, and when, after a store had gotten them and sold out, and there was a delay in getting them, when they'd come in, there would be riots for people trying to get it, and we were considering in the ingredients, listening Krishna's saliva. But we thought that the Food and Drug Administration might not appreciate it.
Did you put it in Sanskrit?
Huh? Or Latin, salivus Krishnas, or something. Now Prabhupada explains something else here. It's sort of almost, for the next page, Prabhupada explains very practical cause of enthusiasm. In all phases of life, one has to perform devotional activities under the direction of the spiritual master in order to attain perfection in bhakti yoga. Now that principle is the, is the essential principle that makes sense of the rest of the page. It has to be this principle that Prabhupada is going to explain of Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha Yukta Vairagya Uchate, that this principle has to be performed under the guidance of one's spiritual master. It is not that one has to confine or narrow one's activities. Krishna is all pervading. There is nothing independent of Krishna. As Krishna himself states in Bhagavad Gita, Mayeti tamidam sarvam jagravyakta murtina matstani sarvabhutani nacham test avastita. That Krishna is everywhere and he's everything. So therefore everything should be used in Krishna's service. And then Prabhupada explains. One has to make everything favorable for Krishna's service under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. For example, at present we are using a dictaphone. The machine was the materialist who invented this machine intended it for businessmen or writers of mundane subject matters. He certainly never thought of using the dictaphone in God's service. But we are using this dictaphone to write Krishna conscious literature. Of course, the manufacture of the dictaphone is wholly within the energy of Krishna. All the parts of the instrument, including the electronic functions, are made from different combinations and interactions of the five basic types of material energies, namely Bhumi, Jala, Agni, Vayu, and Akash. The inventor used his brain to make this complicated machine, and his brain, as well as the ingredients, were supplied by Krishna. According to the statement of Krishna, Matstani, Sarvabhutani, everything is depending on my energy. Thus, the devotee can understand that since nothing is independent of Krishna's energy, everything should be dovetailed in his service. Endeavor executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called utsaha, or enthusiasm. So, because we cannot sit and chant all day long, because we are not on that stage, although it is a wonderful stage, we can still be enthusiastic because we can use everything in Krishna's service. Because the Krishna consciousness movement is meant for yukta vairagya. Otherwise, the whole world could not be engaged in Krishna consciousness. This was one of the great gifts of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The devotees find the correct means by which everything can be utilized in the service of the Lord. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha Yukta Vairagya Uchate. The execution of devotional service is not a matter of idle meditation, but practical action in the foreground of spiritual life. So that was a very, I found that a very interesting aspect of enthusiasm that Prabhupada understood from his practical realization, and he gave the practical example of himself as he was dictating this very book with the dictaphone. And still, and being enthusiastic, and keeping others enthusiastic. But again, it has to be done under the orders of the spiritual master, because I remember, especially in the early days, immediately everything could be used in Krishna's service, so immediately everyone wanted to become a rock and roll star for Krishna, play the electrical guitar for Krishna, and write rock and roll music for Krishna. And most devotees who tried to do that fell in Maya for themselves, not for Krishna. And Prabhupada eventually said, I don't want this, stop. I don't want you to use everything in Krishna's service in this way. So therefore, things have to be used, everything should be used in Krishna's service, but yet the guidance of the spiritual, one spiritual master. Okay, then we leave off there. Yes, that's the end of this section D. Is that right? Okay. Then the next one, or the next two, is Daryat. What does Daryat means? Patience. And Nischayat. What does Nischayat mean? With confidence. Has anyone thought of the mnemonic device for Nischayat?
Well, when you were traveling on the trains in India, these people were selling tea. I'm very confident they were selling out of their chai. They say it very loud. Chai.
Chai, Nischaya. What is a hunter called? The hunter. What is the other word for hunter? Nishada. Nischaya. No, it doesn't work. Because even a hunter could be confident if he surrenders to a pure devotee. sadhana. So these activities should all, so all those activities, now Prabhupada's going to connect it, those activities, enthusiastic activities, should be done with patience. So that balances the mode of passion out. So we like to be enthusiastic and get completely in the mode of passion, but we should be patient and we should be confident. One should not be impatient in Krishna consciousness. Indeed, this Krishna consciousness movement was started single-handedly. And in the beginning there was no response. But because we continued to execute our devotional service with patience, people gradually began to understand the importance of this movement, and now they are eagerly participating. One should not be impatient in discharging devotional service, but should take instructions from the spiritual master and execute them with patience, depending on the mercy of Guru and Krishna. The successful execution of Krishna consciousness activities requires both patience and confidence. And in order for one to have patience and enthusiasm, he has to have confidence. A newly married, here's the example. A newly married girl naturally expects offerings from her husband, but she cannot expect to have them immediately after marriage. We're married, where's the child? No. Of course, as soon as she's married, she can attempt to get a child, but she must surrender to her husband, confident that her child will develop and be born in due time. Similarly, in devotional service, surrender means that one has to become confident. One cannot surrender without confidence. The devotee thinks, Avasya Rakibe Krishna. Krishna will surely protect me and give me help in the successful execution of devotional service. This is called confidence. Now, in this regard, if I can do it. Yes, I can. I would like to read what surrender and devotional service means according to one song written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is called Sharanagati. Out of compassion for the fallen souls, Sri Krishna Chaitanya came to this world with his personal associates in divine abode to teach Sharanagati, surrender to the Almighty Godhead, and to freely distribute ecstatic love of God, which is ordinarily very difficult to obtain. This Sharanagati is the very life of the true devotee. The ways of Sharanagati are humility, dedication of the self, acceptance of the Lord as one's only maintainer, faith that Krishna will surely protect, execution of only those acts favorable to pure devotion, and renunciation of conduct adverse to pure devotion. The youthful son of Nanda Maharaj, Sri Krishna, hears the prayers of anyone who takes refuge in him by this sixfold practice. Bhaktivinoda places a straw between his teeth, prostrates himself before the two Goswamis, Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatana, and clasps their lotus feet with his hands. I am certainly the lowest of men, he tells them, weeping. But please make me the best of men by teaching me the way of Sharanagati. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jive Doya Kori Swapa Sara Suya Dhamma Sahi Abhitori Atyanta Dulhava Premi Kori Bhari Dhan Sikhaya Saranagati Bhaketera Pran Dainya Patience Atmana Vedana Gotriptre Varan Abhasya Rokibe Krishna Vishwas Palan. Vishwas means faith. And Abhas Rokibe Krishna, always having full faith in Krishna for Krishna's protection. Bhakti Anakula Matra Karjeda Srikar Bhakti Pratikula Bhav Parjanangikar Saranga Saranagati Hoibe Jahar Tahara Pratana Shune Sri Nanda Kumar Rupa Sanatan Pade Dante Trina Kori Bhakti Vinoda Pore Duhun Paradhori Kandiya Kandiya Bale Amito Adham Sikhae Saranagati Koro He Uttama.